There are those days we get out of bed and think, let's do something different today. Multiply by 365 and you've got the trajectory of today's guest. Luann Kahn challenged herself to do something new every single day for an entire year. She blogged about it at the time, then wrote a book expanding upon the blog. The book is called I Dare Me. What possessed her? Well, let's ask. Luann Kahn is a reporter at WCAU-TV in Philadelphia, which in these days of branding is known in Philly as NBC10. Luann is a multiple Emmy Award winner and a survivor of cancer and other medical conditions several times over. I Dare Me came out in hardcover a year ago and is just out in paperback. Luann, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, I'm so happy to be with you.
So let's talk about the beginning of the year first. And actually, by the time it began, your medical stuff was actually a couple of years behind you, wasn't it?
It was way behind me, and in fact, you know, I should have been so happy and grateful to be alive. I mean, I'd had breast cancer, I'd had kidney cancer, I lost my large intestine to ulcerative colitis, I was missing all sorts of body parts. I should have been jumping up and down for joy just to be walking around, but I wasn't. I was really stuck. I was really stuck. I was really angry. A lot of things were going on, particularly at work. There was a whole avalanche of new technology coming at me that I was rejecting. I was being asked to work differently. The economy was tanking. People I'd worked with for decades were losing their jobs, leaving. My daughter had moved off and gone to college, so my husband and I were empty nesters. And it just, all of a sudden, I felt old and out of step. And I didn't know how to get unstuck. That's where I was that year.
Did you consider changing careers or at least changing jobs?
You know, I guess I thought about it, but, you know, I'm a TV news reporter under contract.
Oh.
And, you know, it wasn't really reasonable at that time to do that. So, yes, while I thought about it, that I knew I had to do something right away. Just as a cancer survivor, I knew this wasn't good for my head or my health. I had to fix it. And it really turned out that I had to change. It was my daughter who came home, from LA where she was living at the time and, really convinced me that I had to do something different.
This is Alexa, your daughter. And so how did she phrase this? Was she nice about it or did she give you a good kick in the
rump? No, she was not nice about it. You know, it's good to have someone in your life, and for me, it probably really is. My husband and my daughter are very real with me, and my daughter came home. She hadn't been home in a while, and she looked at me, and she said, "What the heck is wrong with you? You know what? You're a survivor. You know, you're a reporter. You kick butt. This is not my mom. What are you going to do about this?"
I should point out, you are an investigative reporter. You're not doing the stories on the birthday parties for tigers at the zoo.
No, no. I was running after people and exposing scandal. But that job was changing a lot. And I was very frustrated with it because of all the new technology and also lack of resources that I had once had. So my job was changing.
Not an early adopter of social media, I gather.
Oh, yes. Oh, I didn't want to Facebook. I didn't want to Twitter. I didn't want to do any of that. Didn't understand it. I think I was afraid of it. I didn't get it. And I didn't think it had anything to do with me. But I'm a communicator. I should have been adopting it. You know, I mean, and I think we're both long time. We've been in the business a long time. I started in 1978 before live trucks and computers and cell phones, for goodness sakes, you know. And all those years, you adopt, and then I just hit a wall with this new technology for some reason. And she was like, "You got to get with it. You need a creative outlet. You need a blog." Like, what's a blog? I didn't even know what a blog was, you know. So, but and it's not, you know, I was working full time. It wasn't like I wasn't doing anything. I was just frustrated and angry.
And TV reporters' hours, it can be, you know, 10 to 12 hours a day, pretty easy.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you know, right. It wasn't like I was sitting on my rear end. But she convinced me. She said, "You know what, you need your own creative outlet." And she was really smart, my daughter, because she understood a blog would also get me over some of these technology humps in a way.
You'd have to deal with them. You'd have to be using those things to produce
well,
your stuff.
Right. Yeah. You know, if I'm blogging, you have to upload video and pictures and learn the web. and learn all that social media that I didn't want to. And, you know, she bugged me and bugged me. She was home for 2 weeks and wouldn't leave me alone. And finally I gave in, and because she said she'd create a space for me online. And I said, okay, well, maybe I'll do, you know, one new thing a week. And she said, you know, that's not a bad idea, but it'd be great if you did something new every single day. I'm like, who could do that? But we started creating a list of most of the things, really simple things that anyone could do.
Now, you did set some parameters for yourself in the year first, some mm-hmm. limits. What were some of the things you weren't willing to do?
Well, I didn't think it was necessary to jump out of a plane. One, I had done that when I was a kid. And two, I really don't think you have to risk your life to do something new. You don't have to run away from home or change your job. I really thought that I really understood from the beginning, actually, if you're going to do 365 first, some of them are just very simple. And I also said that, you know, if you hadn't done it since you were a child, then it's okay. It's a first. If you hadn't done it in 10 years, it was okay.
All right. So those are some qualifications on the list of firsts. We'll come back and talk more about the 365 new things that Luann Kahn did, all captured in her book, I Dare Me, How I Rebooted and Recharged My Life by Doing Something New Every Day. Back with Luann Kahn and your phone calls and emails if you'd like to join us on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 15. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service, I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Luann Kahn. She's a TV reporter in the Philadelphia market and also the author of a book about how she challenged herself to do new things, not just a few new things, but one new thing every day for an entire year. Her book now in paperback is called I Dare Me, How I Rebooted and Recharged My Life by Doing Something New Every Day. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Maybe there are times in your life when you started making yourself do new things you can add to the pile of stuff that we'll talk about here. Join us at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. So we talked about some of the parameters already. No need to jump out of an airplane, risk your life. You can do things that you haven't done in 10 years or back when you were a kid, you had done before, but obviously not very recently. I mean, were there some real low bar activities like going up the stairs backwards or something?
Oh, I did walk my dog around the block backwards one day. I mean, I really, I know my neighbors looked at me like, what is she doing? And my dog was definitely confused. But, you know, I had to fit it, some of these things I had to fit into my 24/7 life. I had to do something quick. Some of the things were very simple. One day I planted an herb garden because I'd never done that. One day I bought a lottery ticket. One day I went out and did a primal scream, which probably scared my neighbors too. So, because some of these firsts I was doing, I literally had 10, 15 minutes in my day. But I really think all of those things just added up. Cumulatively, I mean, I realized right away I was feeling happier and I was challenged and I was challenged just by the idea of what am I going to do today? And people were asking me, you know, as they found out about my journey, hey, have you done this? Are you going to try this? A friend of mine from Phoenix sent me a scorpion to eat, so I videotaped all of this stuff too. It's all on my website, luannkahn.com. Because that was part of my challenge too, to videotape, learn how to do that, edit it, put it up on the web.
Do the stuff. So this I should point out, in a market like Philadelphia, the reporter is generally not going to touch the technical gear.
That's correct. That, however, is changing in this new media world. But still, for me, yes. I'm generally not shooting the video.
Right, yeah. No one-man bands in Philadelphia yet.
There are some.
Really?
It's definitely going that way. Hmm. It's definitely going that way. I mean, and I think that's part of the change, for sure, is the equipment's getting lighter and easier, and the quality is getting better. That's definitely changing.
When you talked about people giving you suggestions and, you know, sending you scorpions and things, I'll cross off, did you eat a bug? So that apparently is a yes. or actually, we'll find out if you actually did eat it. But
I ate it. Okay. Oh, yes, I did.
Okay.
It was gross.
Were people then, I mean, did you have advanced lists? Were you able to sit down sometimes and scribble out like, he might be, you know, let me try these for the next five things or something?
Right. So I always had a kind of working list. The working list usually were bigger things that I knew I needed more time for, maybe a weekend or a vacation time to do bigger things like maybe zip lining or going to a place I'd never been before. But there were days where I was flying by the seat of my pants, knew I had to come up with something, and I had to figure it out on the fly. One day I ended up doing a story in a horse barn, and I saw these people doing something, moving hay around, and I said, what is that? And they said, we're mucking. I had no idea what mucking was. And I said, oh, can I do that? Because I just had to find the first
so
to
muck
do
out
that
stalls
day. I didn't know you're moving around horse manure, basically. So, but that's what I did. Sometimes I really had to, you know, sometimes I had to just wake up with the intention, all right, you're going to have to find something today. And I, of course, I would. But some things definitely were planned, like the day I sang in public, which was scary.
Yep.
I knew I had an event where there was going to be a band, and it was on my list of things to do, and I knew it was do or die. That was going to be the day I was going to do it.
Lou Anne Kahn is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Her book is I Dare Me. She did something new every day for a year. The book is now out in paperback. So did you ever get the flu or anything, or you know, something knocked you back so you had to stay in bed for the day? Or?
Okay, so here is the wildest thing. And, you know, for people who really believe in the mind-body connection, it was one of the healthiest years I ever had. And here I am running around like crazy working and doing this blog and doing something new every day, and you'd think, oh my gosh, I'd just run down. But in fact, the opposite happened. I was completely energized. I was sick one day. One day, I think it was just a really bad cold or sinus infection, and at that point, I had gone back to school. Actually, through the University of Missouri.
MIZ.
I see that you went to school there.
Yep.
And I was teaching school. And so that day it had to be sick and grade my first set of papers. You know? Because that was, I mean, real life did happen. I mean, there was, you know, my sweet, sweet dog, Angel, a golden retriever kind of mix, who'd was about 14 years old, got sick that year, and we had to put her to sleep. And it was heartbreaking, of course. And that had to be what I talked about that day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that had to be what was going on because there was no room for anything else.
Yeah.
And, you know, got incredible response from people about that and support. So that was the other thing, you know, as I was going and learning about social media and, you know, just putting my thoughts, random thoughts out there, people connected with me, and I started to see and understand the value of social media, and everything started opening up. My world started opening up again, but also in person, too. You know, anyone I would do a first-time experience with, I would bond with. Some of the strangers became friends I'm still in touch with.
I haven't talked about exactly how you started the year. I want to start with dessert first. There was a dessert day in here. Is that
oh,
right?
My gosh. That was at the top of my list because I love food, you know, and eat dessert all day just sounded like a fabulous thing to do.
But
I really don't recommend it. It was horrible. By about 3 in the afternoon. You know, of course, I told everyone I was going to eat dessert all day. Everybody brought me dessert
really?
At work. And it was great till about 3 in the afternoon. And then I was like, no more.
Wow. All right, so the way you... Go ahead.
I was going to tell you, but the year started with the polar bear plunge.
Okay.
And I don't like the ocean, going into the ocean in the middle of summer, much less in the middle of winter.
Right.
But, you know, around here, I bet you do it out there, too. January 1st, every year at the Jersey Shore in Atlantic City, there's a polar bear plunge. And it doesn't count unless you run in and you go all the way in with your head, you know.
I understand that was one of the things that made you go, what? Your head has to go under?
Oh, yeah. You have to get totally in the water before it counts. So I watch this video every year, you know, on the news and say, who are those people? They're crazy. But the timing of this, my daughter had come home for the holidays. She challenged me. She said, well, you got to do something. And here we are coming up on January 1st. And I knew that that was the craziest thing I could think of to start my year. And I knew I had to start with something big and symbolic to prove to myself I really was going to do this. And some crazy guys in Speedos helped pull me into the water.
I was going to ask you, did you go in under your own power?
No. I knew I wouldn't. I had to ask for help. And these lovely strangers in Speedos, if you look at the video, you'll see them. I told them, please drag me in, because my feet will not do this. They won't go. And they did, and they also picked me up out of the water, and we all come screaming out. But, you know, it was kind of like a baptism of sorts, in a way, into my journey, because I came out feeling exhilarated and happy, and crazily happy in a way I had not in a long time.
Luann Kahn, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, her book about doing something new every day for a year is called I Dare Me, is now out in paperback. You could join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760. That's around the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Should point out the way that the book is divided up in chapters. Chapter one, for example, is fears, firsts that overcome fears. And you point out that as a reporter and skeptic, you wanted to make sure there's some research in here. So what did you find out in researching the process of facing your fears and what that does for you?
You know, fear really does get in the way of a lot of things we want to do in our lives. We just convince ourselves that we can't do it. And what I learned in doing research is that when you face a challenge, any kind of fear, like even me running into the ocean, which was a fear of mine, I feared the ocean. And doing that and accomplishing that gives you confidence, and it transfers to other parts of your life. It gives you confidence to go, you might think, well, what does the polar bear plunge have to do with my goals of, I don't know, writing a book or going back to school or getting that career, making a career change. But it does. It actually does. Facing a fear gives you the confidence to tackle some of the other things in your life. You kind of go through that and go, I'm still here. I challenged myself. Bring it. Bring it on. And I think the more you practice that, facing your fears, the more you can take on the big things in your life you really want to.
I should point out, Luann, you did pace yourself a bit. So day one was the polar bear plunge. Day two, you read the entire newspaper.
That's right. Well, I mean, you know, some days were, you know, look, I took risks large and small. And the next day I really needed a break. And reading the newspaper for several hours, you know, was great. I think it took me half the day to really get through it.
I was going to ask you which paper you chose, if it was like a Monday edition of the Levittown Press or something.
I have to go back and look, but I'm pretty sure it was the Philadelphia Inquirer, which was pretty hefty.
Mm-hmm.
I you know, want ads and all.
Oh, wow. So I was going to ask if you read the classifieds, and there you go. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Eye strain for day three. All right. So not obviously feats of endurance or strength all the time, but why a day without a mirror, and why does that show up in the chapter about fears?
Because I think what it was putting on makeup without a mirror. Because we, and I think particularly women, we look in the mirror dozens of times a day. We're afraid of, we're checking ourselves out all the time to make sure we're okay, we're presentable. And it was an interesting fear to face. That, well, what if I don't look okay? What if I put makeup on wrong? It was definitely a challenge to do that and be, put aside the fear of what do I look like? And it turned out to be a perfectly lovely day, and it didn't matter what I looked like.
Was this not a work day, I'm going to guess?
Yeah, well, yes. I could not have gotten away with that at work. They would have insisted that I look in the mirror, you know, before I went on TV. So, yeah, it was not a work day. That would be scary and possibly.
it could be a whole different world of fear, yeah. The talking to a stranger thing I find fascinating because it's what people in our business do all the time.
Right. And you know what? I thought that, too. I had a friend of mine, in fact, in the business, challenge me to do that. And the challenge was to talk to a stranger who looked completely, totally different from me. And not just have a casual hello kind of surface conversation, but a real full conversation. And I thought, yeah, I'm a reporter. I go up to strangers all the time. But the thing is, I go up to strangers with a microphone, with a camera, with an agenda, a working agenda, not as just me. And I realized I went to a park in Philadelphia. It's called Rittenhouse Square, and it's a very eclectic crowd there. There'll be homeless people and millionaires sitting right next to each other, and sometimes you can't even tell the difference. And I realized as I started walking through the paths of this park where people were sitting on benches that all of a sudden it was very intimidating. I would look at people to see if I might sit down next to them, and they'd avert their eyes like, why is she looking at me? And finally I saw this stranger, this man, a gentleman, you know, he looked sad, he looked lonely, he had bags at his feet. I wasn't quite sure what his situation was. And I just kind of willed myself to sit next to him. And I just said, nice day we're having. He said, his face lit up. Mm-hmm. And he said, it sure is. And he ended up telling me this incredible story about his life and that he and his wife had traveled the world and they had their businesses, but she had died recently. And he really missed her and he loved her. And I said, what did she die of? And he said, breast cancer. And I told him, I'm a breast cancer survivor. And he just looked at me like I was an angel. And I never could have imagined that here I sit next to a stranger and the real connection between us is breast cancer. And it just reminded me that we're all connected, that we're not alone. And sometimes we just shut ourselves off in our own little world and we forget, you know, the beautiful connections and people we miss meeting because we don't open ourselves up. I have never seen this gentleman again, but there is video of him on my website. And it was really, I think that experience really convinced me I was on the right path. I was doing the right thing.
Lou Anne Conn is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Her book is I Dare Me. She did something different every day for a year. So that, again, talking to a stranger was a fear, but turned out to be a great experience. We did mention briefly the singing in front of a crowd thing. I want to give a little more context here because this was part of an auction, wasn't it?
Right. So every year I work with the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation on their big fundraiser kind of ball event. And I decided I was really going to have to, you know, I advise people when you want to do a big challenge that you tell everyone. You tell your family, you tell your friends, you tell someone because you will want to back out. You won't want to do it when it finally comes time to do it. And I definitely felt that way when it came time to do this. But I had told this organization I wanted to do it. I was auctioning off singing a song for money to send children to a special camp who suffer from Crohn's and colitis. So it was for a good cause that I was going to completely humiliate myself. And the deal was that whoever bought the song that I was going to sing, they could pick the song. So there was no preparation. It wasn't like I necessarily knew the song, and I would practice it with the band briefly. I'd go back, and I think the song was You Made Me Love You, which I kind of knew.
The one Judy Garland used to sing?
Hmm?
The one Judy Garland used to sing?
You
made
right.
me love you. I didn't want to do it. That one, yeah.
I didn't want to do it. Yeah, that one. And so it was one of those like, wait, what's that song? You know, I kind of remembered it. And It went great. You know, at first I started singing and people were eating and not really paying attention. So then I was just like, okay, let's belt this thing out, and just hammed it all up. And it was a lot of fun.
Did you expect anybody to actually bid the price up for they, in other words, they'd be paying you not to sing?
Oh, well, no. Let me just say no one asked me to do it again.
Fair enough. Luann Kahn, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Her book is I Dare Me, How I Rebooted and Recharged My Life by Doing Something New Every Day. Maybe you have some similar experiences to share, times when you challenged yourself to reach out and do new things. Let's hear what those are. Join us on the Exchange when we come back, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Back on the Exchange with Luann Kahn and you in a minute 25. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. Our guest today is Luann Kahn. She's a TV reporter in Philadelphia and the author of a book called I Dare Me, How I Rebooted and Recharged My Life by Doing Something New Every Day. Luann was feeling a little stale in middle age and decided the best way to get things back on track was to do an absolutely new thing, well, at least something she hadn't done in 10 years, every day for an entire year. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Let's hear some of your experiences at 800-838-3760 anywhere in our listening area, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. As we mentioned before, you were blogging and putting the information about your quests, your conquests, I guess, on social media as you went along. Were you getting, in addition to reactions like, you know, the standard You Go Girl stuff, were people coming out with their own stories as well, Luann?
Oh, yeah, that's been the amazing thing that's happened throughout while I was blogging. And then, the book has been in bookstores in hardback for a year, and I've heard from people all over the country. A woman from Joplin, Missouri, people told me they were starting their own year of firsts, and a woman from Joplin, Missouri, who's a realtor, said, you know, she wasn't sure about this, but decided, what the heck, I'll try doing new things. And she told me January is always her worst month. And she sent me a picture of her and her grandson putting positive notes, encouraging notes randomly on cars in her town. And she said, you know what, that January turned out to be the best year she had for business. I mean, the best month she'd had.
Really?
For January. And she told me, she said, I don't think it's a coincidence, as she started to do new things. And I don't think so either. I think she started to show a new face to the world and related to the world in a different way. And that started changing everything. And that's a wonderful thing to know. This isn't just anecdotal for me. There really is research that shows doing new things can completely open up and change your life, and other people are experiencing that and sharing their stories.
Including a quote here from, we have Pam and Dexter on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Luann Kahn.
Hi, well, I actually tried to do that once, do something new every day, which I failed miserably, but I think the concept is really important to stretch yourself and to have novel experiences and kind of search them out in your life. And you were talking earlier, and it totally reminded me of a quote that I'm actually going to, I make holiday cards every year, and it's by Joseph Campbell. And it says, the cave you fear to enter holds the treasure that you seek. Mm. And I just thought that was so profound, because really that's how we grow and how we expand ourselves, is by facing our fears and going in and confronting them. You know, if we hide from our fears, we kind of stay limited, I think.
No, right. I think that's absolutely right, Pam. And I think the other thing that's interesting that I learned on this journey is the things we fear, we usually make them out, or our goals. We say, well, I want to climb Mount Everest, but, you know, I'm too afraid to do that. And we decide that we're going to do some huge thing, and then we never do anything because we're too afraid. And by doing these simple little firsts, they really do give you the confidence to move on to the bigger things, because I think just getting into the practice of stepping outside your comfort zone on a regular basis helps you understand that that's where the joy is, that's where the good stuff is, when we challenge ourselves and we do something new. But fear is a huge, huge, big, I think it's a mental bully sometimes telling us we're not capable, we're not competent, we don't deserve it, you can't do it, and then we have to put it in the corner. We have to sit it down and say, get out of here.
Yeah, great quote, Pam. Thanks for that from Joseph Campbell. Well, you know, I was just dropping back to look at the chapter organization again, and chapter one is fears, but then, of course, chapter five, you get into adrenaline rush first. So there were other things you did that certainly could engender some fear. But so what were some of the things you did in the adrenaline chapter? And again, what is scaring yourself do for you physically and mentally?
Well, there's endorphins involved, you know, when you do something that scares you a little bit. Oh, my gosh. I rode a mechanical bull. Crazy. I'll never do that again. There's a great video where I just scream and scream and scream because I can't get the words out. Stop! But yeah, there's an adrenaline rush for sure.
You did a trapeze act? Is that right? A circus trapeze?
Oh, yes. That's right. That's right. That was so... Oh, that was very scary. There's a circus school, and there's a lot of circus art schools around the country, and they teach you how to get up on this trapeze, and it's way up high over a mat, you know, in case you fall, but you're swinging from the ceiling, and it took all my muscle strength to kind of pull myself up, and they had to push me up and get me up there. I have kind of, I think, you know, a little bit of a fear of heights, and I got up there, and you're just swinging from this little bar. So, but when I did it, I felt so great, you know. I felt like, oh my gosh! And the other great thing is, I really tell people to document. If you're going to do it, document it.
So somebody can actually you can point to it and say, hey, look, see, I really did this.
Right. It kind of reinforces that if you doubt yourself, look what you did. And look how far you've come. And if you can do that and risk that, you could do anything. You really can.
So, Luann, did you get scared enough to back out of anything and have to come up with a new first for that day?
You know, I can't think of anything that I backed out of. Well, that's a good question. I can't, you know, most of the things, everything I did, well, I'll tell you one I wanted to back out of. I did a 10K mud run. Uh-huh. You know, where they have all those crazy obstacles. You're crawling through the mud, and then you've got these walls 20 feet high that you've got to climb over, rope things going over rivers. I mean, I didn't know what I was getting into. And when I got there, this lovely group of young women, thank goodness they adopted me, and we literally did get to obstacles where I would just stop and go, oh my gosh, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. And then these women would just go, come on, watch us. We're going to do it, and we'll cheer you through. And that was the amazing thing, that also when you have a team with you, you have people supporting you, you'd kind of be amazed what you can do. And
it really was a bonding experience, I gather.
Definitely. Oh, no, definitely, when you go through that and you cheer each other on. I mean, I remember getting to the top of one of these obstacles 20 feet high, and you have to throw your leg over to get to the other side. And I was frozen. I was just frozen, and these women were just going, you can do it, you can do it, just throw your leg over. And, you know, that one step just seemed so frightening. And I did, I finally just did it. It's an incredible mental high to get past something like that.
That's great. Let's talk to Jamie in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Luann Kahn, the author of I Dare Me.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Good morning, Luann.
Hi, Jamie.
Hey, Jamie.
This isn't so much a question as it is kind of a comment and a suggestion, but as I was listening to the conversation, it occurred to me that there's something that's relatively simple but very, very challenging, And I'm not sure you'd be able to do it for an entire day, but you could at least try it for as long as you can. And that is basically, if your domineering hand is right, try doing everything with your left hand and vice versa, if you're the right hand. And it's very simple to do. It doesn't require any extra skill or anything. You might not want to try to do it all day because you probably wouldn't have it on a vacation or a holiday, so you wouldn't be challenged by having to drive or anything like that, which might become dangerous or awkward.
Hmm.
I just thought that would be a good suggestion for anybody in the listening audience who wanted to try it. It would literally be using another part of your brain that you've never
familiar.
True for that. Thanks, Jamie. Appreciate that.
Jamie, I absolutely love that. I think that's a perfect verse because he's absolutely right. Anything that forces you to use your brain differently is a really good thing for your brain. So, you know, new puzzles, new games. Play is very important, too.
You did do a day in a wheelchair, right? And was there another day where you went around blind or blindfolded?
Yeah. The day in the wheelchair was extreme. You know what? I'm glad you brought that one up because that was an important one, too, and humbling. Because I thought, how hard can it be to be in a wheelchair all day? And it completely, I tried to cross a busy street in a wheelchair, and people honked at me. They yelled at me that I wasn't going fast enough. All of a sudden, I saw the world completely differently. And, you know, I thought I was sensitive to the needs of people who are disabled, but I didn't have a clue until I did this. And I think everyone should do it, quite frankly.
Well, yeah, there are the things that surprise you. I was having lunch with a friend in a wheelchair not long ago and realized, oh, wait, we can't go in the door we usually go in.
Right,
because that doesn't have the ramp. So let's go around here, and it opens immediately your eyes to the differences.
Right, I mean, going to finding an accessible bathroom, having the muscle strength to lift yourself up, going to a grocery store, trying to reach something. I happen to go to a grocery store that's near a rehab center where a lot of people end up coming in wheelchairs, and now I'm completely focused in if someone. I can see them stop in front of something, and they're stuck, and I know what's going on. And, you know, God forbid any of us, you know, you don't want to end up in a wheelchair, but, you know, it's a complete life change.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if the world was more accessible, it would be a better place.
So there is a chapter here on firsts for busy people, which certainly is right up your alley. But a day without cursing, really, in the TV business?
Oh, I know. I'm bad. That was a hard day. And because I, you know, told my friends and coworkers that day that what I was doing, first of all, they laughed because they said, that's not possible with me. And I messed up a lot. But it really did kind of show me I have to watch it. It's not great. My habit was worse than I thought.
It's interesting how broadcasters have that switch in their brains. When they get around a live microphone, the swearing stops.
It does, you know, but behind the scenes, I know I don't know. I think it's kind of part of the business. You know, we swear like sailors when we're not in front of a microphone.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's true. Let's move on then.
Okay, all right. We've just outed ourselves.
We have. Yeah. Solo kitchen dancing. Explain this one, please.
Yeah, kitchen dancing. Well, you know, I remember when my daughter was growing up that we would turn on the music and we would just dance. And, again, remember I was, you know, I was an empty nester and I needed a first, and I'd had a hard day, and I just decided, you know what, I'm going to turn on the music and rock out. And it was great. It was great. It's just like, you know, Jamie saying, use the other side of your brain and do something that's simple, but it just brings a freshness to life. And after 5 minutes of dancing around in my kitchen, I felt better.
And this is something you used to do with Alexa, I understand. So did you make sure that she got a video record of what you did?
Oh, I did. I sent it to her. Yeah. Yeah, she really...
Didn't you guys eventually Skype to do a dual kitchen dance?
Right. Yeah, we danced together in a Skype conversation. She played our favorite song from when we used to dance together. And I'm I don't remember what it was, but that was kind of, I think it might have been a Mother's Day kind of or birthday kind of thing where she, you know, at that time, remember this is 2010, Skype was still relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was in California and we danced together, a virtual dance together.
That is fun. There was a whole chapter on firsts that move you. And I wanted to ask before we go about damsels in success and what that's all about.
You know, one of the things that happened was that, well, I tried to say yes to invitations because when you're stuck, you say no a lot. You don't even realize it. And I had said no a lot, and a friend of mine said, come to this Damsels in Success group. I'm like, that's the silliest name I've ever heard. I'd never join a group with that name. And she said, no, really, it's a great group of professional, wonderful, intelligent women. I'm like, all right. So because I told myself I had to say yes to do some of these firsts, I went. And it turned out to be, these women are still my friends. I just had them all over my house the other day. They're an incredible support network. I never would have imagined I needed that or I wanted that at the time that I was stuck. And they're still part of my life, and they still call themselves, well, they call themselves DISS, Damsels in Success.
Huh, that's a lot of fun. The whole book is just a lot of fun and a lot of inspiration. It's been fun to read. I Dare Me, How I Rebooted and Recharged My Life by Doing Something New Every Day. Luann Kahn, thanks so much and take care.
Jeff, thank you. Enjoyed it.